Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I want to draw your attention to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 14. And in just a moment, we're going to read verses 22 through 33. As we consider today what happens when the storms of life come. And I promise you, storms will come. They are not all weather related. But whatever the storm may be, whether it's a literal storm or an economic storm or a political storm or a family storm or a health storm, whatever the storm may be, there are always spiritual implications in and beyond the storm. Now we find here in Matthew chapter 14 that Jesus had just performed a mighty miracle in feeding a hungry multitude of over 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fishes. And the disciples participated in that miracle. Surely they had to be on a spiritual high at that point. But then the storm comes. And we pick up the story in verse 22 and following. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And so what we have here are the spiritual implications of what can happen in the storm. Jesus told his disciples to go to the other side, but then the storm came. I call it a crisis in the crossing. And it brings us to this conclusion that I want to share with you. Desperation in the storm can be an opportunity for God's miraculous provision, spiritual growth, and greater blessing. You see, folks, this is why we need faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith connects us to what we cannot yet see. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:27 that Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Faith in the midst of the storm can be the turning point to a breakthrough with God. I want to share some examples with you of God working in the storm before we even look at this particular storm that the disciples were in. But here are some examples of God working in the storm. I was thinking about Abraham. God, the Bible says, tested Abraham. It was a storm. It was a moment of crisis for Abraham. God said to Abraham, Abraham, take your only son and offer him as a sacrifice. This was the death of a vision. Abraham waited years and years and years for the promise to come. And now it looked like there was no hope in that moment of a crisis. But if you know the story, Abraham looked over in God's perfect timing, and he saw God's miraculous provision, a ram caught in the thicket. And there he proclaimed, Jehovah Jireh, my God provides. Then I was thinking about the prodigal son who really created his own storm. When the day came when he decided to leave his father to go out into the far country, but then he hit bottom. Sometimes a person has to just absolutely hit bottom before they discover God. And the prodigal son hit bottom, but the Bible says that he came to himself. He came to his senses. He woke up. He said, I will arise. I'll go back to my father. And that's what he did. And his father received him and restored him and provided for him. He came through the storm. Paul and Silas found themselves in a storm in a Philippian jail. And as a result of that crisis, a Philippian jailer and his family were saved, and a church was formed in the city of Philippi. And so, as we look at this storm the disciples were now in, there are three things that we need to understand when the storm comes. Number one, we need to understand that the storms of life are universal. They're unavoidable. No one escapes the storm. The disciples couldn't escape the storm. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean that you'll never have to go through a storm. He causes the sun to rise on good people and on evil people, and he sends rain to those who do right and to those who do wrong. Matthew 5:45. Sometimes it may even seem like the godly have more storms. The godly have more trouble than the ungodly. But here's the thing we need to understand today. Even as we look around the world and we see this happening, we need to understand this. There's a storm that's coming. There's a final storm that's coming. Jesus told this parable about these two builders that built on different foundations. One built on the sand. One built his house on the rock. And the same storm came. And the storm revealed what was there. The rain came, the wind started blowing, and the house that was built on the sand fell. The house that was built on the rock, it survived the storm. So what are you building on today? There are three things we need to know in the storm. Number one, know that you are not alone in the storm. Aren't you glad for that? Number two, storms don't last forever. Thank God for that one. And three, in every storm of life, there's an opportunity to grow and to learn by drawing closer to God. All three of those dynamics that I just mentioned, they're right here in this story. Jesus didn't leave his disciples alone. He didn't leave them to fend for themselves. He brought the storm to an end, and the disciples grew closer to Jesus in and through the storm. They learned a valuable lesson of faith that they would never forget. I want to ask and answer a question today. And here's the question. When does trouble come? Trouble comes when we try to operate outside of the will of God. In other words, we as human beings, we're completely capable of bringing trouble on ourselves. We're capable of bringing a storm upon ourselves. Jonah did this. Jonah brought all kinds of unnecessary trouble upon himself because he was trying to run from God. He thought he could, like many people, he thought he could run from God and be trouble-free. And God sent a storm. God stirred up the waves. God caused the wind to blow and a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah said, "You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea." He said, "Out of the belly of hell, I cried." Friend, listen to me today. If God brings trouble upon your life, when you're operating outside of His will, it is because He loves you. That's why He brings trouble to you. And the time to start worrying, look, if God no longer troubles you, that's when you need to start being concerned. Trouble comes when we try to operate outside of the will of God. And here's the other thing. Trouble comes when we operate in the will of God. Jesus gave a promise. In this world, you will have trouble. Not you might. You will. You're going to have a storm. You'll have some trouble. And here's the thing, even when we're trying to follow the Lord closely and we're doing everything we know how to do and we're praying and we're trying to do the next right thing, even then trouble can come. In fact, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if you are trying to follow the Lord, you can almost certainly expect some resistance. The wind will blow against you and the waves will come crashing upon you when you're trying to serve God. This passage in Matthew 14, it's living proof that it's possible to be right in the center of God's will and be in a storm at the same time. And did you catch verse 22? Look at this, verse 22. Jesus made His disciples get into the boat. He didn't say, "Would you please get into the boat? We're going for a boat ride." He made them. He told them, "Get into that boat. You're going to go through a storm, and this is part of My plan for you." And the disciples, when they obeyed His word and they did that, that's when trouble came. But Jesus said, "You're going to make it to the other side." That, folks, I want to tell you, I want to encourage you to tell you, we're going to make it to the other side. Amen? And if a storm is going to come, I want to tell you right now, I'd rather be in the storm with Jesus. I'd rather go through the storm with Jesus than without Him. What's the alternative here? Job. What a man Job was. The Bible says he was blameless. There was no one on earth like Job. If there was ever anyone that came close to being perfect, it was Job. The Bible tells us he was blameless. And yet a storm came upon Job. A family storm, a health storm, a financial storm. All of it came upon Job. And you know what Job said? "I know My Redeemer lives. And when He brings me through, when He has tested me, when He has tried me through this storm, I'm going to come out on the other side. I'm going to come out like pure gold when it's all over. And though He slay me, yet will I serve Him." Yes, The storms are universal and unavoidable. But thank God we're not alone in the storm. Here's the second point I want to make today. Here's something else we need to understand. We need to understand the ministry of Jesus in the storm. Jesus is doing three things when we're in the storm. Jesus is watching and praying when we find ourselves in the storm. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. I want to tell you today, listen, I don't know what you brought in to this service today. Maybe you just feel like you're going under. Maybe you're in the midst of some type of storm in your life. I want to tell you, Jesus knows what you're going through. He sees what you're going through. And he is interceding for you. He hears your prayers. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. We do not have one who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. No. What is Jesus doing when we're in this? He's watching. He sees. He's praying. Secondly, Jesus is drawing near. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. This is no accident that the Bible says it was the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It's the darkest time of the night. It's the darkest before the dawn. And we're told here not only when he came, but how he came. He came walking on the sea. When you walk on something, that something's under your feet. Jesus came walking on the very thing that constituted a storm for his disciples. He came walking on the sea. Jesus comes to us when it's dark. He comes walking on the things that constitute a storm for us. He comes walking on our fears. He comes walking on our anxiety. He comes walking on our trials. He comes walking on failure and sickness and even death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Aren't you glad today? For Jesus. Up in my office, I have an old hymnal up there, and sometimes I'll pull it out and just look at some of the... I love modern praise songs. I have for a long, long time. There's some great songs. But some of the hymns have some really good theology and good messages. So I was looking through this hymnal, and I came to hymn number 253. Just when I need him most, just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need him most. I don't know about you today, but I'm so thankful that all the storms that I've been through, all the things, I'm so glad that I had Jesus. Jesus brought me through all of it. Here's a third thing Jesus does in his ministry when we find ourselves in a storm. Jesus is speaking, and he's reaching out his hand. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And then, verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Oh, his voice, his hand, when the storm is there, when the storm's raging, his voice, his hand. We hear His voice. If you open up your ears and listen, let not your heart be troubled. He extends His hand. Come to me. Here's the invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Here's a third major point that I'd like to make today in this message. We need to understand what the storm does when God is with us in the storm. I want to mention three positive outcomes here. Here's what will happen. If we cooperate with God, we go through some trial, some storm, here's what's going to happen. The storm makes us who we are and what we are. There's no waste in God's economy. The goal was to get to the other side, and the disciples, they went through the storm and they were better for it. They drew closer to Jesus. They learned lessons of faith. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Someone once said that the Christian life is kind of like a tea bag. You don't know what's in it. You don't know what's inside until you place it in hot water. Someone else said the Christian is like a teapot. Though he's up to his nose in hot water, he can still sing and whistle. So you see, God is able to help us. It's not on the mountaintops. When have you grown spiritually? It's not on the mountaintop. When everything's great, everything's going wonderfully, it's in the valley. That's where you grow. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present moment, but painful. Yet afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. James says, count it all joy. You won't read this in a newspaper anywhere. He said, count it all joy whenever you face trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So God is able to take all of it, all of life, and work it for our good when we cooperate with Him. Secondly, the storm causes us to rely on God and to recognize His ability. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Jesus spoke. As the Son of God, He spoke to the wind. Jesus speaks to the storm. Peace be still. The Bible tells us it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Ah, Lord God, You have made the heavens and the earth. By Your great power, by Your outstretched arm, nothing's too difficult for You. Listen to these words. God, any rivers You think are uncrossable? God, any mountains You can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no one else can do. Do you believe it today? Here's my final point before we enter into Holy Communion today. The storm can bring us to a place of worship and confession. Look at this. Look at this. Verse 33. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. So I say this to bring this message to a close. Are you going through a storm today? Can you get a vision of Jesus in the storm? I want to ask you this. Have you invited Jesus into the boat? Are you determined you're going to go through it by yourself? I'll tell you what I believe today. Jesus, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you believe that today? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the miracle worker. He still walks on the storm. He still stretches out His hand. He's still doing it. And I want to tell you something. He's able to save to the uttermost. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're not saved and you feel like you're just falling, He's here. He's reaching out His hand. He'll reach out His hand. And the safest place that we can be today is not in St. Mary's, West Virginia. I thank God we're in a nice, safe community. Because a lot of our nation isn't. But the safest place is right in the palm of His hand. If you're in His hand, no man can pluck you out of His hand. No force can take you out of His hand. And I pray today that you will hear that call. Jesus is reaching out His hand to catch you.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His word. Blessings.